I'm Christopher Clark. I'm Professor of Modern European History at the University of Cambridge.
Why did you want to be at the conference?
First of all, it's organised by Mark Cornwall, who's a colleague whose work I've always been interested in and fascinated by. He works on Central Europe with particular focus on the Yugoslav countries, the Yugoslav lands of the South Slavs. He's also the writer of, I think, the best analysis of Serbian policy in 1914. He's gathered a really extraordinary group of scholars with a lot of international expertise, a lot of potential for debate, including conflict, and it was just too exciting.
We're very close to the actual anniversary of the shot that sparked the conflict. The blame game is quite fashionable these days. You spoke of how Serbia perhaps shouldn't be seen as a villain.
No, I don't think the talk of villains, good guys and bad guys, is really very appropriate in this context. It wasn't a James Bond movie. It didn't break out because a small coterie of villains in velvet jackets, some kind of high-tech mountain hideaway, but in a planned world Armageddon. It broke out because of the complex interactions between a plurality of great powers on a rather unstable, a rather troubled continent, all of whom were pursuing their own interests and all of whom were willing, in the pursuit of those interests, if necessary, to take upon themselves the risk of a great conflagration. And that's how this war came about, in an interactive and multilateral way, not because of the actions of one bunch of villains.
People inclined to pin the blame on Germany or Serbia or whoever,
I think that's,
aren't viewing it in the best possible light.
No, I think not only they're not viewing it in the best possible light, they're getting in the way of the light and darkening the debate and turning it into a debate about the identities of particular states, and that doesn't interest me at all. We're talking about Europe here. All the people involved in this story are Europeans. Europeans don't always behave well. Great powers certainly don't behave well. They don't become great by behaving well. They become great by predating at each other's expense and by playing various forms of zero-sum game. And that's exactly what they were doing in 1914. They were all playing poker, they were all bluffing, they were all willing, though, to take the bluff right through to the end.
A lot of the media coverage, popular view of the First World War is centering on the trenches, the conflict in France and Belgium. Do you think it's a shame that the First World War elsewhere in Europe is perhaps becoming a little eclipsed?
Yes, I think that this is a European event. Yes, I think that this is an event of genuinely European scope, whose consequences for Europe are scarcely measurable. I mean, if you think of what came out of this war, the destruction of four great empires, the Russian, the Ottoman, the Austro-Hungarian, and the German Kaiserreich, if you think of all that, and if you think of the between 15 and 20 million dead young men on the fields of battle, the 21 million seriously wounded, and you think of the emergence of a one-party state under Bolshevik control in Russia, the Stalinist aftermath of all that, the rise of fascism in Italy, the rise of Nazism in Germany, all these things are difficult to imagine without the cataclysm that was the First World War. Other parts of Europe, of course, see things differently. The Polish nation is reborn in the ashes of the First World War. Yugoslavia is another beneficiary of the First World War. So the perspectives differ depending on where you're looking at this war from. But that it is a European event of the greatest possible moment is beyond doubt, I think.